Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to, of course, none other than my most recently developed project, my latest experimentation, if you will, and of course, my newest and latest development. This new X, you know, what do you want to call it? This most up-to-date experience, if you will. And this is episode one of none other than, of course, the X and O's radio show, in parentheses, the It Factor / X Factor broadcast. Now, in this episode, I want to talk about, you know, basically professional sports and, you know, everything that is, you know, contemporarily speaking when it relates to professional sports. I also want to talk about current events if given any time. And maybe I'll dive into, you know, such things as, you know, relates to politics. Maybe perhaps, you know, MMA, that kind of stuff. So, but before I get into all that, let me just start with this. I'm your host with the most coasts, I'm coming to you live from somewhere. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. I am now on the air. And so this is going to be an opportunity for me to have some fun and for me to interact and be interactive with you, the audience, listeners, and fans of this new platform / broadcast, you know, / talk show / podcast. So if you want to, you know, have a little fun and learn a little something, then stay tuned. But let's do this. All right, so currently underway, we have the Los Angeles Clippers on the road taking on the Phoenix Suns in game two of their series. Currently, the score is 13-11. Of course, you have the number 5 Clippers taking on the number 4 Phoenix Suns at the Phoenix Suns at the Footprint Center. So this is a very raucous environment, very passionate fan base. These fans are very loud and very opinionated. This is one of the louder crowds in all of the NBA. They are somewhat of a hostile environment, somewhat of a tough place to play, somewhat of a unwelcoming atmosphere for the opposing team, and so they let their voice be heard. So this is not going to be by any stretch, you know, a cakewalk or clockwork or walk in the park for the Los Angeles Clippers by any stretch of imagination. Now, that being said, having said all of that, I personally do believe that this match should be a seesaw, teeter-totter, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth type of game. That is, if both teams play to their strengths, to their capabilities, to their credentials. And I do believe that's what we're going to see here. Now, to the contrary, this particular playoff series has a very compelling narrative, a very compelling, storyline, if you will. A very compelling storytelling headline, or in this case, matchup, per se. And that particular matchup features none other than Kawhi Leonard versus KD. That's the premier matchup in this series. That is the, that is the end-all, be-all matchup in this series. That is superstar versus superstar. That is future Hall of Famer versus future Hall of Famer. That is legend versus legend. That is icon versus icon. That is the elite matchup in the series. That is the superstar battle. That is the iconic, duel, if you will, between two superstars that want it, that are hungry, that are thirsty to win this playoff series. So, I believe that that matchup could very well determine who wins this series. You have two top dogs, superstars, all-stars, elite, multi-talented, generational, transcendent talents going at it. Both of them trying to win this series and advance to the semifinals in the Western Conference. So, if we're up to me, who would I choose as far as, advantage purposes, right? And as far as who would I want as the closer? Who would I want as an all-around performer? The guy that's going to get it done in the clutch. The guy that's going to get it done at both ends. A guy that's going to hold himself and his team accountable, and the guy that's going to will his team to win. It's a tough call. It's a tough decision. But if you have to put me on the spot and I would have to give an answer, I would choose KD. Why? Well, let me explain. Number one, KD has been there and done that. He's battle-tested. He's paid his dues. He's put the work in. The man is tough. The man has every tool it takes to win. The man has every gift that a man can be given. The man has all the raw natural talent, raw natural abilities, raw natural credentials, raw natural potential. And so I would rather choose KD because of all those things. And that's not to mention the guy is, close to 7 foot tall. At least that's what it appears from a distance. And he's got, an uncanny wingspan He has the ability to shoot over any defender, over any opponent, over any competitor. And just now, I just saw him shoot a shot over Kawhi Leonard. The man is that talented. He's that good. He's got that kind of raw, natural ability. So I will not count Durant out in any playoff series. As long as you have Kevin Durant in any series in the playoffs, you always have a chance. But, and here is the, you know, asterisk attached to that. You also have to look at the road KD chose to get here, right? And personally, it's not my business, so I'll keep my likes and dislikes and opinionated views and opinions to myself. But some would say, for all the right or wrong reasons, he took a shortcut. Of course, he went to Golden State in the summer of 2016 after having lost to that very team in, you know, the playoffs the year prior, you know, the previous season. And so for him to join the team that essentially sent him home and took him out of the playoffs and essentially ended his season, a lot of people looked at that with, you know, some raised eyebrows. A lot of people looked at that and thought that was a cheap move. They thought it was a cowardly move. They thought it was a cop-out, right? And I can't necessarily say that I'm going to argue with them in the sense of how they feel. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm not saying that, you know, that's the way to go about it. But at the same time, I hear what they're saying. And, you know, they do have somewhat of a point. And I'm not, again, criticizing Kevin Durant for what he did. I'm not ostracizing him for what he did. And I'm not, castrating him for that decision. I'm just saying what other people are saying about the situation. And, you know, I'm just saying from another person's perspective how other people feel about this scenario. I'm just saying that some people have their opinions on this for what Kevin Durant did for all the right or wrong reasons that he got here after this so-called shortcut, right? Now, don't put words in my mouth. I'm not calling Kevin Durant a coward. I'm not calling him, you know, any names. I'm not calling him a brown noser. I'm not calling him any of that. I'm not calling him a coward or a brown noser or a shortcut artist or, you know, a cheapskate. I'm not calling him any of that. What I am saying is some people have been saying this because of the decision or decisions that Kevin Durant made. And some people feel that he took a shortcut for all the right or wrong reasons. And some people are, you know, in no, you know, hurry whatsoever to not call him certain names such as coward, brown noser, cheapskate, or cheap shot artist, or cheat code, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to do that. The man was 28 years old at the time, which is still relatively young by NBA standards. And I think what happened was, at least from a third person's perspective, that Kevin Durant saw his championship window closing, especially in an Oklahoma City uniform. And so I feel like in order for him to reach his championship aspirations and to achieve his goals of winning an NBA championship and, you know, ultimately, you know, capturing the most prestigious prize in all of the NBA, then he had to make this move. And so I looked at this at the time like this was a pretty underhanded move on Kevin Durant's part. I looked at this as somewhat of a cheap shot at the time. I also looked at this at the time like this was a move that was somewhat sacrilege and somewhat taboo. And, you know, I think even Kevin Durant could speak to this, at least at that time, that, you know, there, you know, might have been, for all intents and purposes, you know, a guy like him could potentially put himself out there for being, you know, ostracized. And, you know, I wouldn't say wrongfully ostracized, but ostracized nevertheless. And potentially excommunicated from, you know, fans, players, media members alike. And essentially exiled from the lore of his peers. And, of course, you know, NBA fans, media members, you know, alike. And so I personally feel like he put a lot of pressure on himself that offseason to make this move. I don't think that this was a move or a decision or a choice he made overnight. I'm pretty sure he, you know, talked to some family members, talked to some close friends and some within his inner circle and tried to get some approval on this before he did that. I don't believe that this was a decision where he went, hey, I'm just going to go sign to play for the Golden State Warriors. I'm pretty sure it didn't go down like that. I'm pretty sure he had some input, some insight and foresight into making this decision before he did that. And I think if you were to ask Kevin Durant, well, depending on what time you would have asked him, let's just do some role play, if you will. Let's just throw in a hypothetical, dare I say. Let's throw in a rhetorical case-by-case scenario here. If you were to ask Kevin Durant today as opposed to then, or then as opposed to today, how would you feel about making this move to, you know, go to the Golden State Warriors? If you were to ask him then, I would personally believe that he felt like he, win or lose, made the right decision. Now, would you ask him that today? Would you get the same answer? If you were to ask him that same question today, would you get that same response? I believe you'd get that in spades, because look what it did for him. He got two NBA Finals championship rings with the Golden State Warriors, my Golden State Warriors, that is, and two Finals MVPs. And that's not to mention, I don't know, that's not to mention that he almost did a three-peat and almost potentially won a third NBA championship after a back-to-back-to-back, after a three-peat, and almost became a third consecutive Finals MVP to add to his resume. Not to mention, he's, you know, won the scoring title before. He's been a league MVP, but he would have potentially had not one, not two, but three consecutive NBA championships to his credit, and would have won potentially, you know, with credentials, three consecutively added Finals MVPs to his long list of accolades, accomplishments, and, you know, all these achievements. Think about that. Think about that. I'm just saying, think about it. Okay, so now that I've got that out of the way, let's just switch gears a little bit and stick with the topic at hand. I know I did deviate a little bit from the norm, so I would like to not get sidetracked here, even though I did just a little bit. Let's get back to this NBA final series. But before I do, let me just end it on this note, and I'll leave you with this. When it comes to this particular subject matter relating to Kevin Durant, I feel like this was very much the catalyst, the genesis, the blueprint for him to be at the level of superstardom that he is in at today. I feel like if he didn't make this move, he wouldn't be in the position he is at now. He's at the precipice of legendary status right now. He's on the verge to become one of the most dynamic scorers in the history of the NBA. He's got all of the credentials, all of the potential. He's got all the makeup of what an NBA superstar should be. The only asterisk I could add to that, if you could even call it that, because I'm not gonna, but some people would, in their eyes and in their mind and in their head. Again, let's do a little role play, if you will. Let's do a little, let's do a little role play, if you will, a little case by case scenario, hypothetical, rhetorical type scenario type of deal here. Okay. If Kevin Durant didn't make this move, let's just say, he won two, you know, consecutive NBA championships with the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? And he won two consecutive Finals MVPs with the Oklahoma City Thunder. On his way to potentially three-peating and winning a third consecutive NBA Finals MVP trophy. Not to mention the fact that he might have won a third consecutive NBA, not just NBA championship, you know, let me rephrase that. Let's just say he did win two consecutively added NBA championship rings to his credit. So let me repeat that. Let me rephrase that. Let me put this in proper context in plain English here. Let's just say if he did. I'm not saying he would, could, might, should, or even may, but if he did. Not saying he will, but if he did. Not saying he would, but if he did, right? What if Kevin Durant won two NBA championship rings with the Oklahoma City Thunder and won two Finals MVPs with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Okay? Not to mention the fact that he could have potentially three-peated and won a third consecutively added NBA championship ring to his credit, along with another NBA Finals MVP to his resume. Would we be having this same narrative thrown at Kevin Durant? Would we be having the same negative connotations thrown his way? Would we be having the same, negative aspect attached to his name? Would we have the asterisks? Would we have the hypotheticals, the rhetoricals? Would we have all of these, unanswered questions attached to Kevin Durant's reputation? No, of course we wouldn't, because then we would have, then he would have done things in many people's eyes and minds and in their head the right way, right? Because that's the American way, right, of doing things in professional sports. That's the old-fashioned way, as they call it, in today's vernacular, right? That's the way you're supposed to do it, the right way, right? The American way, right? The old-fashioned way, right? But let me try to do a little bit more role play here and throw some more hypotheticals and rhetorical questions your way one more time. So again, let's do just one more little, case by case type of scenario, role play, hypothetical, rhetorical, questionnaire, if you will, right? What if you were in Kevin Durant's shoes? What would you do? Being 28 years young and a championship window potentially closing, knowing you have credentials, knowing you have potential, knowing you have every gift, NBA talent-wise, that a man could be given, all the raw natural ability, the raw natural leadership capabilities, all of, human athleticism that a man could possess on both sides of the ball, knowing he is a two-way player, meaning he is, very well-balanced and well-rounded and, just an overall, relatively decent player on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. So knowing he is a good two-way player, that being a well-rounded, well-versed, and efficient player on both offense and defense on both sides of the ball, what would you do if you were in Kevin Durant's shoes? What would you do if you knew that your championship window in your profession was, on the verge of closing? What would you do if you were following in Kevin Durant's footsteps? What would you do if you were trying to fill Kevin Durant's shoes? What would you do if you were Kevin Durant at that time, at that moment, at that stage of his career, knowing that it was basically now or never in case of him potentially winning an NBA championship or not? Because you got to think of professional sports like this, okay? First and foremost, it's a business, okay? And a lot of these guys and gals forget that it's a business. They're in it not just to make money, not just to provide a better life for themselves and their families, but they're in it to win championships. They're in it to be the best at their craft. They're in it to be the very best at their sport that they can be. They're in it to be the best of all time. And in order for them to do that, You have to be willing to make moves like this. You have to be willing to put your reputation on the line to make moves like this. You have to be willing to risk it all, put your reputation on the line, to put your credibility on the line, to put your believability on the line, to put everything that you've worked so hard for on the line. Because if you don't, and you go throughout the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your life, and you go, woulda, coulda, shoulda, there's always going to be that asterisk attached next to you. Well, what if I did this? What if I could have done this? What if I should have done this? You never want to go through life going through that woulda, coulda, shoulda phase, right? It's a quote that I think I remember from somewhere at some point from someone. And I want to try to paraphrase, not plagiarize here, but I believe the exact quote was this. Again, I'm doing my best to paraphrase, not plagiarize here. It's always best to regret something you did do rather than regret something that you didn't do. And I think that's what happened with Kevin Durant in this case. Okay? Because let's face it, Kevin Durant wouldn't want to, and I think even he could speak to this, he didn't want to be one of those people that wanted to go through the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life thinking woulda, shoulda, coulda. Thinking the one that got away. You know what I mean? Thinking, oh, well, what if I did do this? What if I would have done that? What if I went back and could have done this? He didn't want to live his life with that. He knew he couldn't live his life with that. He knew that he would not live with himself having that attached to him in the back of his head. Knowing what was on the line for him at that moment, at that time, in that stage of his career, I think he had to make this move regardless of his, you know, total fan base and his support system. He knew going into this decision that he'd be risking a large portion of his fan base, support system, and his peers. But guess what? Look who's laughing in the end. Kevin Durant. And let me explain why. Like I said, again, he's got 2 NBA championship rings with the Golden State Warriors. He's got 2 NBA finals with the Golden State Warriors. Not to mention the fact, like, you know, I've been saying, like I said, again, he could have, had he not been injured going into the latter stages of the season, or in this case, the playoffs in 2019, he could have won a 3rd consecutively added NBA championship ring with the Golden State Warriors and potentially another NBA finals to his credit as well. He would have three-peated and would have become the first, I do believe, NBA player to have won 3 consecutively added NBA championship rings to his credit and 3 consecutive NBA finals MVP trophies to his resume. No player in the history of the NBA would have done such an achievement or accolade or accomplishment, anything like that. No player in NBA history would have achieved those accolades, those accomplishments, or those achievements ever in the history of the sport. So you tell me who's laughing now. So you tell me who won in the end. So you tell me who had the last laugh. If you paid close attention to what I've been saying and what I've been trying to get through to all of you, with all due respect, if you've been listening carefully and been paying attention to what I just said, and you, you know, absorbed all of this, you know, knowledge that I've been trying to pass on to you, you will know that Kevin Durant got the last laugh. He was the one that won in the end. He was the one that won this almost unending war for, you know, his legitimacy of his legacy, for the legitimacy of his accomplishments, for the legitimacy of his accolades, accomplishments, achievements, his resume, and his legacy. He fought for it. He earned it. He deserves it. And for any naysayers, for any of the cynics, for any of the skeptics, for any of the people who want to write him off, so be it. But for anyone who's been, you know, cynical or skeptical or any of the naysayers, any of the people that want to attach asterisks to his name or people who want to write him off, again, then let them have it. You know, let it be. So be it. But at that point in Kevin Durant's career, I believe he knew that this would pay off for him in the end. And it did. So before any of you, I'm not saying that any of you would, could, might, or even may, with all due respect, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, rhetorically speaking, you know, let me rephrase that. I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically speaking, rhetorically speaking, and, you know, I'll go as far as to even say supposedly speaking, before you were, I'm not saying you could, might, or may, but if you were, I'm not saying you would or did, but if you were, just know this. Kevin Durant achieved everything that he set out to do and more. He exceeded everybody's expectations. He far surpassed any of, you know, the goals that they had put in front of him. And he far, and I'll go as far as to say few and far between, he absolutely not just set the bar, but raised the bar, not just set the standard, but became the standard. So before any of you want to, again, attach any asterisks to his name or, you know, speak cynically or skeptically or write him off, just know this. The man won two finals MVPs, not to mention two NBA championships for that matter, and was on his way to three-peating on winning a third consecutive NBA title to his credit and championship ring for that matter, for third consecutively added time, and a third consecutive finals MVP to his credit as well. So before any of you do the media thing and, you know, be cynically speaking about him or skeptically speaking about him or write him off or attach an asterisk to his name, just know what this man accomplished while he made this move, after he made this move, and after the fact he did this move. So, and also, I want you to think of things like this. So let's do a little, for the last time, let's do a little role play and throw a hypothetical rhetorical scenario out there. What if you were in Kevin Durant's shoes? What if you were following in his footsteps? What if you were filling or trying to fill his shoes? Think about that. what if you were following in Kevin Durant's footsteps? What, think about this for a second. What if you were following in the footsteps of Kevin Durant? You know what I mean? Just think about it. What if you were following in the footsteps of Kevin Durant? What if you were trying to fill his shoes? What if you were, you know, essentially Kevin Durant at that moment in time? Wouldn't you have done the same thing? Wouldn't you know going in that this decision was probably going to be one of the hardest, if not the hardest decision you've ever had to make in your life? But know what it did for him. Again, like I said, again, two finals MVPs, consecutively added two finals MVPs to his credit. Two NBA championships rings to his resume. Not to mention the fact, that being said, having said all of that, he could have three-peated and won, not one, not two, but three NBA consecutively added championships to his credit and three finals MVPs to his resume, which no player in the history of the NBA has ever done since its inception, since its origin, and since the sport, the league, and the whole global phenomenon began. So in closing on this particular subject matter, just know this. Before you judge a book by its cover, make sure you read the book first. And that's all I have to say on that particular subject matter. Now let's move on. Just like that. So, nevertheless, I digress. So, currently, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns are squaring off right now in prime time. On prime time. Whatever you want to call it. On prime time. In prime time. At prime time. Whatever you want to call it, on TNT as we speak, it is underway. Currently, the number 5th seed, Los Angeles Clippers, are taking on the number 4 seed, the Phoenix Suns. The score right now is in favor of the Los Angeles Clippers, 49 to the Phoenix Suns, 36. So there's about a little over 5 minutes left in the second quarter. So we're about to approach halftime. But just know this, okay? So, first and foremost, as I've been saying, and I won't say it again, because saying the same thing can get, you know, just tediously, and, you know, monotonously, just repetitive, and I don't want to do that. So, the premier matchup and the, you know, the elite duel, if you will, the battle of all battles in this series has to be, must be, and convincingly is Kawhi Leonard versus KD, or in this case, Kevin Durant versus Kawhi Leonard. You have two-way players. And in this case, if you don't know what a two-way player is, that is a player that is well-versed, well-rounded, and very well-efficient on both sides of the basketball, being offensively and defensively. So, you have two-way players that are masters at their craft. When it comes to the sport of professional basketball, that being the NBA. And so far, this is a pretty good match, a pretty good duel, pretty good battle between these two superstars, between these two legends, between these two icons, between these two future first ballot Hall of Famers in my head, in my mind, in my eyes, right? But Kevin Durant, I mean, I can't say enough good things about this guy. He can do it on all positions in the NBA. He's a positionless player when it comes to, you know, the National Basketball Association. And in an era of positionless basketball, Kevin Durant is one of the guys that's leading the charge. Kevin Durant pretty much put positionless basketball on the map. I mean, he can play point guard. He can play power forward. He can play center. He can do it all. Not to mention the guy can defend. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. And that's not an indictment on Kawhi Leonard. That's not a knock on him. That's not me taking anything away from Kawhi Leonard or his credentials for that matter. Nor am I trying to take away any of his potential or what he brings to the table. But this Kevin Durant, he's built different. He is just cut from a different cloth. He's just a different animal. Okay? And so, I'll get to Kawhi Leonard in just a moment. But KD, right? I don't know if there's anything on the NBA court in terms of the sport. And of course, I'm talking, you know, in legal terms and moral terms, of course. And of course, you know, when it comes to talented, like raw natural talent, ability and capability and credential and potential abilities concerned, I'm pretty sure there isn't anything that Kevin Durant can't do on the NBA court. You want him to, you know, play bully ball? He can play bully ball. You want him to, you know, shoot from the perimeter? He can shoot from the perimeter. You want him to, you know, play low post? He can play low post. But he can also do it on the defensive end. You want him to guard the three-point line? He can guard the three-point line. You want him to protect the rim? He can protect the rim. You want him to guard you full court? He can do that. You want him to guard you half court? He can do that as well. You want to play physical? He can play physical. He can do it all. There's nothing on the NBA court that Kevin Durant cannot do. And it's been proven, and it shows. Now, on the other side of the coin, and on the other side of the fence, and on the other side of the spectrum, if you will, you have his opponent in Kawhi Leonard in the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, you got a guy in Kawhi Leonard who's also cut from a different cloth. And for all intents and purposes, he is also, you know, an entirely different animal. He's also a whole, you know, different beast altogether. The man's got a finals MVP to his credit as well, not to mention an NBA championship with the Spurs. But that's not all. He also did it with another franchise and defeated KD's Golden State Warriors. A lot of people will say Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors because it's effectively been his team, even when simultaneously Kevin Durant was playing for the Golden State Warriors at the time. But nevertheless, you have a guy in Kawhi Leonard who won an NBA championship with the Spurs in 2014. Not to mention the fact that he won the NBA Finals MVP that year. So you have that going for him. You have a guy in Kawhi Leonard who won the NBA championship with the Spurs in the 2014 NBA playoffs. But you also have a guy in Kawhi Leonard who won the NBA Finals MVP that year with the Spurs. Fast forward, you know, 5 years later, he took on Kevin Durant's Golden State Warriors. Now, a lot of people, even to this day, will say, well, no, that's, and still is, Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. And people will still say that, take three. Sorry. I'm a little hyped up. I'm a little excited right now. So bear with me. Humor me here. Even when KD was with that team, some people will say, well, no, that was still Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. Even meanwhile, all the while, put it this way. So Kawhi Leonard wins an NBA championship with the Spurs and the NBA Finals MVP with the Spurs in 2014. But fast forward 5 years later, he takes on Kevin Durant's Golden State Warriors. And some people will go as far as to say, even to this day, well, no, that's and still was and still is Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. And they'll still say that to this day. Even meanwhile, Kevin Durant was on that team with Steph Curry. And even though Kevin Durant would have probably won the finals MVP that year if healthy. But nevertheless, I digress. But anyway, Kawhi Leonard beat KD's Golden State Warriors, although Kevin Durant was not available for much of the NBA Finals. But nevertheless, he defeated Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors, although he was, for the most part, LOA, or in this case, MIA, missing in action for the most of the NBA Finals. But he defeated KD and the Golden State Warriors in the Finals, nevertheless, in 2019, and won the NBA championship with the Toronto Raptors at the time. And he became the NBA Finals MVP with the Toronto Raptors. So you have Kawhi Leonard, who also is in the same boat with Kevin Durant in terms of, well, KD wasn't the only one to win two NBA championships and two Finals MVPs. You also have Kawhi Leonard, who also won two NBA championships and two Finals MVPs. One NBA championship with the Spurs, one Finals MVP with the Spurs, one NBA championship with the Toronto Raptors, and one Finals MVP with the Toronto Raptors. In this latter championship and NBA Finals MVP came after the fact that he defeated KD's Golden State Warriors, although the narrative and, of course, the storyline, the headline, if you will, is going to be, well, no, that was Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. Meanwhile, simultaneously, and all the while, Kevin Durant was on, you know, Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. And put it this way. Kawhi beat KD and the Golden State Warriors in the Finals in 2019. But that's a big accomplishment. He defeated KD and the Golden State Warriors, or in this case, KD's Golden State Warriors in 2019, for the NBA Finals trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy. Now, some people will say, even to this day, well, no, that was Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant was just on the team. And some people will say that simultaneously, Meanwhile, and all the while, when Kevin Durant was on that team, right? And I don't think that's fair, considering what Kevin Durant did for that franchise up until that point, but that's neither here nor there. My point is, you have a guy in Kawhi Leonard who won two finals MVPs, two NBA championships, and, you know, some people will say, well, at least Kawhi Leonard did it the right way. KD did it his way. But regardless of your opinion, regardless of your take, regardless of how you feel about it, these two men did it their way. And now we have a treat on our hands. We have, for the first time in a long time, Kevin Durant versus KD, or in this case, KD versus Kawhi Leonard, in a playoff series. Two players who are probably the best in the sport. Two players that are passionate and mastering their craft. Two players who are two of the best superstars, two of the best athletes, two of the best elite superstars, all-stars, and commodities in their sport. Two men who are passionate and mastering their craft, going toe-to-toe, head-to-head, in a versus battle, right? For playoffs supremacy, you have two men who have won the NBA championship two times over, the NBA finals two times over. You have two men who have won the NBA championship consecutively twice. You have two men that have won the NBA finals MVP twice consecutively. What more could you want? You got KD versus Kawhi Leonard in a playoff series, right? But that's not the main narrative here. That's not the main narrative. That is not the main narrative. The narrative here is the Suns versus the Clippers in the first round. You have two elite teams. And so now is the time where we see who the best really is. Is it KD and the Suns or Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers? So now, I want to ask you all how things are going to play out. What is your opinion on this series? What is your main narrative attached to this playoff round in the first round? What is your opinions on this particular matchup? What is your thoughts on this particular seven games, if it even goes that far, event in the playoffs? So far, to me, and you all can get back to me on this, to me, it is KD versus Kawhi Leonard, or in this case, Kawhi Leonard versus KD, however you want to spin it. Let's just say, for all intents and purposes, KD versus Kawhi Leonard. That is box office, okay? And not just box office, but it is probably the most box office attraction, probably in the history of this season's playoffs. And I know that's saying a lot, but considering the stakes and how the stakes are so high and the just how big this moment is and how much riding there is on the series. Like, there's so much, you know, attached to this. There's so much riding on this. There's so much, you know, bragging rights and so much going on, you know, within this series. And there's so much to play for. There's so much to strive for. There's so much to, you know, go out for and achieve in this series. This isn't just about bragging rights. This is, you know what I mean? It's not just about playoff supremacy. This isn't about just winning a playoff series. This is about showing to the world who the better team really is. This is about all of it, the bragging rights. This is about all of it. This is about this whole, you know, ideology of we're the better team and we're going to prove it to you. This is about all of that. This is about, you know, trying to win a playoff series. This is about all of that. So you throw all of that into context, what you have is what you're having right now. So take all of that into account. So I think you need to throw all of this into a blender and mix it up. This is about all of that. It isn't just about one thing, the other thing, or the other thing. This is about all of that put together. This is about all the riding on this. This is about the bragging rights. This is about playoff supremacy. But most importantly, this is about winning this playoff series. Whoever wins this series alone gets all the riding on this, gets all the bragging rights, gets the playoff supremacy, and gets to say, we are better than you. That's what this is about. This is about cementing your legacy. This is about proving to the world who the better team really is. This is about proving to all of the cynically driven people, the skeptically driven people, all the naysayers and people that, you know, try to write you off, whether it's fans or media members alike, or players even, peers could even be thrown into context here. All of that, that's what this is about. That's what this is, you know, all, you know, shaking up to be. All of this is what represents what these teams are fighting for. Now, only one team can emerge from this playoff series, from this first round of games. Only one team can come out and emerge victorious. So if you were to ask me who that team would be, right now, and I know this is somewhat of an early prediction, in an early, you know, prognostication, if you will, and it's somewhat of a fortune-telling, you know, guess, if you will. But keep in mind, this is just a rough estimate, an educated guesstimate, if you will. This is an educated guess. If I were to pick the team to win in this series, and by how many games? I will choose the Phoenix Suns in six. Here's why. Number one, you have one of the most unstoppable players in the league, Kevin Durant. Okay, that's number one. Okay, that's for one. For one, you've got one of the most unstoppable, multi-talented, generational, transcendent talents in Kevin Durant. For one, okay? Number two, you have Devin Booker, who is a young stud in his own right, who's hungry, who's thirsty, who wants it. You have a man who's great at the game of basketball, who's a good two-way player, who knows his basketball, who has a good basketball IQ, a man who's been there, it is battle-tested, and knows the playoff grind. Now, that's secondly, okay? Number three, you have a guy in DeAndre Ayton who is very much merely and strictly a center for the most part, for all intents and purposes. But if you look at what this number one pick in his own right gives to his team on both sides of the court, on both sides of the floor, and on both sides of the basketball, the man can score. The man can defend. The man can make plays for his playmakers. And vice versa. Okay? Now, you put him and throw him into context. You already had a big two in Devin Booker and, of course, in DeAndre Ayton. But 2 years ago, you add Chris Paul to that list, right? And so, for crying out loud, you already had a great tandem. You already had a great dynamic duo. You already had a great two-man show in Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, right? And you had that formula work for you. But, you add to that dynamic duo. You add to that tandem tag team, if you will. You add to that two-headed monster in Devin Booker and in DeAndre Ayton. You put them two and match them with the transaction of Chris Paul 2 years ago. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, like, it's something like almost you could make out of a movie. You put Chris Paul with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton from that transaction that was made 2 years ago. Look what that did for this team. They've been to the playoffs every year since he's been in a Phoenix Suns uniform. Not to mention the fact that they were good enough without Chris Paul. But you bring Chris Paul into the fold. Now you have a recipe for success. Now you have a three-headed monster on your hands. Now you have a big three. Now you have, you know, three guys that have very little to no ego. And if they do, then it certainly doesn't show. They play a very selfless brand of basketball. So you already have a formidable big three on your hands right there. Okay? So that's very telling in itself. That in itself is very telling. But what did they do on top of that? You add Kevin Durant to that list. You bring Kevin Durant into the fold. You bring KD, of all people, into the Phoenix Suns. Now you have a big four on your hands. Okay? Now I get it. People are going to be quick to do the media thing. Well, is this team too green? Are they, you know, are they too, you know, is this too short for them to make a, you know, big time playoff run? Is this not enough time to go deep in the playoffs? Is this not enough time to make noise in the postseason? You know, there's always going to be that. But at the same time, you also have to throw into context the whole Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving experiment. We all know how that turned out. When Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic were playing together, how many games did they win again? Together? As a tandem tag team or dynamic duo or so-called big two or two-headed monster? I don't know. But I can tell you this. They lost more than they won when both of them were on the court. So that in itself is very telling. And that's very telling in itself. But nevertheless, I digress. Let's get back to the topic at hand, because I know I did deviate from the norm. You have a big forward, the Phoenix Suns, right? And again, like I said, again, people are going to be quick to do the media thing. Well, since they've only had a couple of months, if that, together, is this not enough time to make enough noise in the playoffs? Is this not enough time to make noise in the playoffs? Is this not enough time to make a deep playoff run? Is this not enough time to make it deep into the postseason? There's always going to be that. There's always going to be that hypothetical, rhetorical, and, you know, role-play case scenario. I get that. That comes with any short-term, potentially long-term experiment here. Okay, that just comes with the territory. Now, but you have to look at the present. Right now, the Phoenix Suns are ahead of the Clippers, even though it's a marginally slim lead at this point, and currently the score is 61-59 for the number 4 seed Phoenix Suns against the number 5 seed Clippers. Here's my thing, okay? The Phoenix Suns are built different. You already had a star player in Devin Booker. But you add DeAndre Ayton, who is a former number 1 overall pick, a man who can be your everything. He's a great two-way player, can get it done on both ends of the floor. And so that only makes for a recipe for success. But then you add Chris Paul to the list. Chris Paul is battle-tested. He's been there. He's done that. Way too many times over. So you bring in his leadership qualities to this Phoenix Suns team. They're already successful without Chris Paul. But you bring Chris Paul into the fold, the possibilities are endless. But they didn't stop there. No. You bring Kevin Durant in. A man who's won scoring titles, NBA titles, NBA Finals MVPs, two times over, two-time NBA championship winner, two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's done that twice consecutively, and had he not been hurt in 2019, I personally do believe he could have three-peated and won a third consecutively added NBA Finals MVP, not to mention NBA championship ring to his resume and to his credit. That's neither here nor there. He got injured, he got hurt, and so we'll never know. But with this playoff series, this could go 7 games. I would not put it past this series for it to go long. I'm not going to be surprised if this is a long series. And so this right here is compelling storytelling. This right here is compelling television. This is what brings ratings, revenue, merchandise. All of the sales for the NBA is going to go up. You heard it here first. This has been one of the most exciting NBA playoffs that I've ever been a part of, that I've ever witnessed, that I've ever come across. And we're not even done yet. Tomorrow we've got a whole nother slate of games coming up. Now, let me digress just briefly and talk about some of the other games that took place today. course, the Boston Celtics took care of the Hawks at home. And that's not even to mention Malcolm Brogdon, of all people, made a half-court shot that electrified the TD Garden, rightfully so. The Boston Celtics may very well be the best team in the East, but, and there is a but, if Giannis does get healthy and the Bucks find their way and they get past the Miami Heat, they may very well meet the Boston Celtics in the semifinals. Now keep in mind, both these teams did meet before, with Boston taking the first round between these two teams in seven games. The next year, in, 2019, these two teams faced again. The Boston Celtics lost to the Bucks in five in Milwaukee. Fast forward again to last season. The Boston Celtics hosted the Milwaukee Bucks, and just like the first time around, the Milwaukee Bucks fell to the Celtics in seven games at the TD Garden. Now, again, people are going to be quick to do the media thing. Well, did they win just because, one of the star players from Milwaukee got hurt? And, of course, Chris Middleton. Did the Boston Celtics win just because Chris Middleton was not available for the Bucks? Is that why they won? If Chris Middleton would have been there, would there have been a different outcome? If Chris Middleton would have been there, would the Bucks have advanced past that series? Again, there's always going to be those hypothetical, rhetorical, case-by-case scenarios out there. But I'm not going to do that, because there's no guarantee that that would have taken place, even if Chris Middleton was healthy. And I think Jaylen Brown said it himself, and I'm going to do my best to paraphrase, not plagiarize here. He said, "We felt there were a couple of contests we should have beat them. We definitely felt like we, were gentlemen and let them have a few." So, yeah, you can always throw in the, well, Chris Middleton was hurt, and, throw in an asterisk because Chris Middleton was not available in Game 7 for the Milwaukee Bucks against the Celtics in Game 7, and that's why they lost. But, again, that's doing the media thing, and that's not fair, and that's not fair to the Celtics organization. I'm not going to do that to them. And let's just throw in a hypothetical, rhetorical, case-by-case scenario, since we're doing that anyway. I'm not saying Chris Middleton would have played, but if he did, not saying he would, but if he did, are you going to put all that pressure on one player to win a playoff series for you in one game? Are you going to put a potentially not fully healthy Chris Middleton on the floor and rely on him to take you past Game 7 in a raucous, hostile, volatile environment in the TD Garden in Boston? Are you really going to put all of that weight, all of that burden, and all of that pressure on Chris Middleton's shoulders, of all people, to get you past the Celtics in a Game 7 on the road in one of the loudest buildings in the NBA? Are you really going to do that to him? That's not fair to Chris Middleton. That's not fair to the Celtics. That's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to the Bucks. It's not fair to that series. But if Giannis does come back healthy, and I do believe he will, the initial reports are coming in that his status is clean, whatever that's supposed to mean. As in, he's been unofficially medically declared good for Game 2. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Does that mean he's healthy enough to play? Does that mean he's cleared to play? Does that mean he's medically cleared to be available? there's no, you know what I mean? It's such a gray area. It's just so vague. There's so many, you know, lines here. Where do you draw the line between what's medically cleared, what's cleared to play, what's considered healthy, what's not? Because I get it, it's the playoffs, right? And you need your best players on the floor. But at the same time, you really want to risk mortgaging your future and your nucleus of your team and continuity and all of your core just for a playoff series? I wouldn't do that, but that's just me. Moving on. So we have the Phoenix Suns taking on the Clippers. We're a little over 8 minutes left in the third. Kevin Durant's got quite the statement on this game already with almost 20 points to his credit. And the Phoenix Suns are currently ahead by the final score. Well, no, not final score. The current score of 73-63, right? Now I get it. It's still early. There's still a lot of ball game left to be played. Of all people, Steve Ballmer's in the front row watching this game, witnessing it firsthand like a fan, although he's the owner of the Clippers and has been for almost a decade now. That's neither here nor there. This is one of the premier matchups in the first round. And here's why. Number one, you got the main narrative here, the main storyline, the most compelling storytelling, you know, theme here. You have KD taking on Kawhi Leonard in a superstar versus superstar duel, an all-star versus all-star battle, a future Hall of Famer, and probably first ballot future Hall of Famers at that, and Kawhi Leonard and KD going at it head-to-head versus battle in a duel. That has been the main narrative of this series. That's been the most compelling storyline of this entire matchup. That's been the most talked about theme in this seven-game saga, okay? So now, but that doesn't determine the series, although that has been a big, you know, makeup of it. It's all about the team. It's all about, you know, who's going to make the big plays when they matter most? Who's going to perform in the clutch? Who's going to make those game-changing plays? A wise man once said, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. Well, guess what? Kevin Durant, he's done that. Devin Booker, he's done that. Chris Paul, guess what? He's done that. But you also have DeAndre Ayton, and his resume speaks for itself. But you also have to look to the other team on the other side of the court. Kawhi Leonard, he's done that. Okay? Paul George, he's an up-and-comer. He's been there before. Russell Westbrook, who was at one time KD's biggest rival, although there looked to be somewhat of a acquaintanceship at this point in time due to mutual respect or what have you. But you've got superstardom all over this matchup. It's written all over. I can see the writing on the wall now. The superstardom in the rarefied air and the nostalgia, the thrill of it all. It's all written in this series. Now, who wins this series could very well host the winner of whoever goes to face whoever is going to face the Clippers and or the Suns in this matchup. So whoever wins this match could very well hold home court wherever they face in the next round. If it were up to me and I were betting man, I'd bet on the Suns in six. Why? I mean, look at it for yourself. You have Devin Booker. You have DeAndre Ayton. You have Chris Paul. You have KD. What more do you need to know? But, and yes, there is a but attached to this. Believe it or not, hard to believe, right? You have Kawhi Leonard. You have Russell Westbrook. You have Paul George. You have Terrence Mann. You have Ivica. You have Zubac. The Clippers are no punk. They came to play. The Clippers are a good team. They're not going anywhere. You have two teams that are hungry, that are thirsty. You have two teams that want it. And that makes for compelling television. And that's exactly what I'm witnessing on full display right now. Now, that being said, yes, my Golden State Warriors did not win game two, but guess what? They haven't been great on the road all season. We can lose two games on the road. I'm not concerned about that. We host them in game three and game four.
What do you think would happen?
We have the best home court advantage in the NBA. We have the best fans. We have the most loyal, unbelievably loyal, most faithful, most diehard fans in the history of the NBA. And you do not, I repeat, you will not, and you cannot discount, discredit, and downplay and count out the Golden State Warriors at home. Because if you do, you will be proven wrong. You will be falling on your face laughing at yourself. You will be ridiculed. And not necessarily by me, because I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, but that's neither here nor there. You will be proven wrong by the statistics, by the analytics, and by the outcome alone. So I won't have to say anything. So therefore, I've already won this debate without even having to start a debate. There is no debate here. We are the defending champs. We are the Dubs. We are Dub Nation. We are strength in numbers, and we are going to come at the Kings with everything that we have. And I will darn well bet you that we will steal a game on the road in Game 5 at the Kings and take the series back home at Golden State in 6. Thank you, period, end of sentence. Now, let's move on to the next topic. Okay, so we have the NBA playoffs going strong. The NHL playoffs are coming along. You have the XFL playoffs on the horizon. The USFL has just started its season. The NFL is heading into its OTAs and off-season workouts phase and whatever else have you. The MLB has been underway for about a week or so, if not 2 weeks now. So it's a great time to be a professional sports fan, but that's obvious. It's pretty transparent at this point. It's pretty apparent by now. But for me, what I like to see is, you know, as a professional sports fan, all these different playoffs within these different professional sports simultaneously, because it gives me that much more professional sports coverage to go over, that much more to talk about, that much more to discuss and to debate. And that's what I do, because I'm very opinionated, passionate, outspoken, and I love to get into professional sports debate, discussion, dialogue, and sports talk, because that's what I love to do. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I live for. And that's what I do with keen interest. But as for this episode, or this segment, if you will, of course, none other than the X and O's radio show, a.k.a. the It Factor / X Factor broadcast. This is your host with the most co-signing out. Thank you, everyone, and take care.